You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Last week we were in chapter 2, verse 8. We'll pick it up in verse 9. And I won't do the big review that I do every week, but you know the problem in this church was Gnosticism. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. And Gnosticism was where they added gods to the God. It's going to be very important we understand that today, because they would worship these gods, but also they were Christians and they would bow before these gods, and yet they believed in Jesus Christ. And it's amazing the gods that we could create in our lives. The God of play, the God of sports, the God of money, the God of power, the God of prestige, the God of importance, the God of travel, the God of just vacationing all the time. You know, we can set up gods in our life and still be what we consider good Christians. But God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. They said, a lawyer said, Jesus, what's the great commandment? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Life is not about me. Life's not about you. Life's about living for God and living for others. In our Sunday school class today, we're covering the subject of narcissism and how that it's a parent controlled life where it's all about me at the expense of the mate or the expense of the children. No, he that is chiefest among you, let him be servant of all. And I'm not saying let's live for the kids that, okay, I want a new iPad. Okay, I want a new cell phone. Okay, I'm 7 years old age. I need a $1,200 phone. I'm not talking about that kind of nonsense. But life is not about us. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto or to be served. He came to serve. If you're a CEO of a company, or you're a manager of a company, or if you're a division leader, the goal is not to have your people wait on you, but you wait on your people. Jesus, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of a man. And being fashioned as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. But that exaltation did not start first. What started first was he humbled himself. Life is not about you. Life's not about me. Life is seeking to help others on the journey of life. And life is not adding to salvation anything. It's all of Christ. Amen. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I quoted already, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So we're in chapter 2 today. And this religious church who began to involve gods and the worship of gods in their life. In verse number 9, I want you to read verse 9 through 13 with me as you remain seated there, because verse 9 and 10 are the key of what we're going to look at today, because it's not gods, it's God. Let's read verse 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Pause at the commas, the periods, the semicolons. Ready? Begin. For in him...
Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him
wonderful, that last phrase, forgiving you of all trespasses. I want you to go back to verse 9 and 10. We've already looked early in our study back in January on this word fullness and complete. Verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness. That word is found twice in this book of Colossians. Fullness is to be filled up. It's like a glass. It's way to the top. Can't contain it. And God says, everything you have is in Jesus Christ. He said the same, and fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete. That verse is found, that word is found twice. That means overabundance. They're similar words. They're same types of words. Fullness two times. And complete full, two times. Everything you need is in Christ, amen, not in God's. Amen. They were worshiping the God of Cynthia, the God of Zeus, the goddess Nike, all these different gods, Armitus. They would worship these gods and goddesses. And as they worshiped these gods and goddesses, they began to merge that. And so Paul says, listen, in him dwelleth. Okay, who's the him? Go back to verse 8. What's the last word of verse 8? Christ. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. They added things to Christ. And so verse number 9, and for in him, who? Christ dwelleth the fullness. Dwelleth is to reside. The fullness, the complete, the overflowing of the Godhead bodily. This morning I want to speak to you about that word Godhead. The Godhead, everything we need is in God. Amen. The Godhead, what is the Godhead? The Godhead, well, let me tell you what it is not. The Godhead is not this, Acts 17:29. We ought not to think that the Godhead, there's that word, is like gold and silver and stone and graven art of man's device. Amen. He says that in Psalm 115 and Psalm 135 of the gods. They have eyes, but they cannot hear. See. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have hands, they cannot feel. They have feet, they cannot move. These are the works of man. So there's stone carvings, and there's wood carvings, and there's things that we say, okay, I'll bow to these gods. But God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. The Ten Commandments. Yeah, you don't have any graven image. And so we don't worship an image today. We worship the Godhead. And so it's not of silver and gold. What does it mean, Godhead? It means triune. We believe from the Bible in the triune God. God the, talk to me here. Ready? God the Father, God the, and God the. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Now, if you could explain the Trinity, would you see me afterwards and explain it to me? I cannot explain it. People have said, okay, the egg, there's a shell. Is the shell the egg? Well, yes, it is. The white, is it the egg? Yes, it is. The yolk, is it the egg? Yes, it is. But that's still a very lame, I can't explain the Trinity God, but God says there are three that were very record in heaven. Each one has a function. One is the Father. And I tell you what, the only way you'll understand an earthly Father is to understand the Heavenly Father. In this room, I just looked at several people that their earthly father was not a good example. Abusive, beatings, swearing, kicking, drunkenness, and that's many of you in this room, but I just happened to see a few this morning that I know and perhaps you know as well. Well, in order to understand the Heavenly Father and to be an earthly father, you're going to have to understand Him. Our Heavenly Father is kind. Yes. He's gentle. Yes. And today I want you to see this triune God with me, because in Him ye are complete. You are full. You don't need anything else, but you do need God the Father. You don't need anything else, but you need God the Son. You don't need anything else, but you need God, the Holy Spirit. Now, their problem was, look at verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holy day or watch this new moon or Sabbath day. The new moon and verse 17, the worshiping of angels. And it talks about how they worshiped angels in verse number 18 as well. And what we're doing, we're always on the push. Okay, I worship, but I'm gonna the new moon, it's a full moon. That means this. No, you don't govern your life off a full moon or a sliver moon or a half moon. Well, you know, I saw the moon, it was just perfectly cut in half. And I went to bed, I started having dreams. This week again, people talk to me about the dreams they had. No, friend, your dreams are what you think about through the day. You say, well, a woman said, well, I thought about killing my husband this week. Well, then you thought of it, nonetheless. We're not governed by dreams. We're governed by the Word of God. This book right here. We're not governed by holy days or horoscopes. I've traveled on flights all over the nation just week after for 40 some years. And oftentimes someone will say, well, I see you reading a Bible. And they'll start talking and they'll say, what sign are you? I said, excuse me? They said, what are you? I don't even know what they are. What are they?
I don't even know.
Is this, I'm not trying to trap any. Is Virgo one? Is that one? Yes? No?
Aquarius.
Yeah, Aquarius. What else do you want to know?
Popcorn.
But you don't look in a newspaper, we don't have those anymore, but you don't look in a horoscope to find out, man, I better stay inside today because I could get hurt today. I don't know what those things say, but I'm not going to govern my life by some new moon, some special events, some half moons, from horoscopes, from Ouija boards, through dreams. I'm going to govern my life by the Word of God. Isn't it amazing that I didn't tell them what to sing today, but I read the back of the book.
Yep.
And it's an amazing, God's Word changes life. Not the new moon.
Yes.
Not the horoscope. Not the Ouija board.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything bad about the Ouija board. And I remember in high school, they said, hey, we got this new game. And we were playing that thing. And that thing was going all over the place. Scared me to death. And my dad said, kids, I don't want you playing that game. I'm glad I had a dad that believed in that. I'm not gonna tamper with things that are going to be satanic. And the Godhead. Go back with me, if you will, to keep your hand here or put something there. Matthew chapter 5. And really, another preacher could preach this faster, or he could preach it into a series a lot longer than I can. But I want you to see in Matthew chapter 5, let's begin in verse 45. Let's look at the Father. Do you know the Heavenly Father loves us?
Yes.
Let me say that again. Do you know the Heavenly Father loves us? Here's John 3:16. I know we're in Matthew 5. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So who are we talking about? The Father. The Father gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whom? Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Father was willing to give his Son to die on our behalf. For God the Father had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Oh, it's like to illustrate instead of this way. The Father, for God, the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, the sinner, that we, through him, Savior, might be saved. We sing about it at Christmas time. Hark, the herald angels sing, God and sinner reconciled. How? For by grace are you saved through faith.
Yeah.
And it's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yeah. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. Now the Father, and look at the Father and the Godhead. Verse number 45. But ye are the children of your Father, which is in heaven. I see a father's place. You know, dads, we ought to live in such an environment that our kids think that I'm living in a place called heaven already in my home. My home's a wonderful place. We have a Father's place. He is in heaven. We have a Father's power. Notice what the Bible says verse 45, that ye are the children of your Father, which is in heaven, the place, for he maketh the sun to rise. That's power. You try to raise the sun this morning. You try to spin that the planets on an axis. You try to do that, this earth. But God, his power and his place on the evil, and he has the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and on he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That's provision. God provides for us. I tell you, I don't know how you feel about all this rain. I'm not a rain guy. I like it 75 to 80 degrees every day, sunshine every day. 2 hours of dark at night, that's enough with me. But you know, God in his goodness, we lived a couple years without rain here. And I tell you, you fly in here right now and you look down and you see those hills are like velvet green. And I see things like that. I think that's just the grace of God. And our reservoirs are filled. God's word talks about the book of Psalms, how that he sends the rain and the rains are on the hills and they come down to the streams and come down to the rivers. And then it nourishes the trees and the birds can stay in the trees and it nourishes the flocks because they can go to the water and it nourishes the grass because it grows and the animals can eat of the grass. What a God we have. He sent rain to us. And what a powerful, powerful God, his place, his power, his provision. And you know, look at the prayer. Go to chapter 6, verse 6. Verse 6 says, but when you prayest, enter in the closet. When thou shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father that seeth thee in secret shall reward thee. And by the way, look at verse 8 with that. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you need of before you even ask. So I'm supposed to ask, but he knows what I need. Jesus knows all about my trouble. God knows about everything. My Father knows. My Father has a great family, but he loves me like I was his only child. We have a heavenly Father. A good study for you to be, and I know every time you see the word Father in the Bible, it could be the heavenly Father, it could be earthly Father, but that'd be a good study. All the attributes of the Father. Here I've just given you a few that our Father, he has a place called heaven, and he's preparing that place for you and I right now. And there's a power, he maketh the sun to shine, a provision, and there's a prayer. But look at it, the Father's purity in verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. Sacred is the name. No one ever think about swearing in the name of Muhammad. No one ever think about swearing in the name of Confucius. But people use Jesus' name in vain. And when I hear that, that hurts me.
Yes. Amen.
Because it's a holy name. It's a pure name. If you could take this week, if you have time, I wish you could take the time and go to the book of Ephesians. We're in Colossians, but if you go back, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, just two chapters, two books. And you look at chapter 1, I did it this week, and just of our own personal study. I mean, you look in chapter 1, go every verse, and all you see the word us, that pronoun us, us, us. Here's what the Father's done for us. I'll go through it quickly. In Ephesians 1. He has blessed us. He has chosen us. He has predestinated us. He's accepted us in the beloved. He has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. He's given grace to us. He has loved us. He has quickened, or he's made us alive who are dead in trespasses. He's raised us. He expresses kindness to us. Oh my goodness, we have a heavenly Father that loves us. He gives, 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 gives. Why? Because I'm his child. That took place at the new birth. God, the Godhead is God the Father. Walk with him this week. Talk to him. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him he is a faithful Father, a good Father. He's a just Father. Trust in the Father this week. Put confidence in the Father. But not only do we see, go back if you will, to Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9. We are in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead. Not only the Father, but the Son. The Son. And we saw this weeks ago in chapter 1, all the things he's forgiven us, he's redeemed us, he's given us inheritance. It's all here. But think of what our God has done. He's redeemed us.
Yes, amen.
To redeem is to purchase back. I was alienated from God because of sin at birth. In sin, I was conceived. The Bible says I was born as sin. Not that my parents had children out of wedlock. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just like my parents were sinners because my grandparents were sinners. Because the Bible says, for as one man, sin entered this world. That was Adam. Well, by one man, sin entered this world. And death, there's a consequence for sin. Death by sin. So death has passed upon all men for all sin. And everybody's a sinner. I had the judgment. The Bible calls me, I was a stranger. I was a foreigner. I was an alien. I was against God. I was the enemy of the grace of God. I was born in that condition. I was born with a sin nature. I could lie, I could steal, I could cheat, what, you name it. But those are just sins. My biggest problem was I was a sinner. I was born a sinner. I was away from God. And I need to get back to God. And so people say, well, what's your horoscope tell you to do? What's the Ouija board tell you? What's your God tell you to do? What's your idol tell you to do? No, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what Jesus did? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. He redeemed me. You know what he did for me? He became my Savior, my deliverer. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. I love to talk about Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's the captain of my salvation. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So many of our elementary school teachers in elementary chapel, I was talking one day, and almost every one of their favorite songs, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I have enough in a day's time like you that can cause me to worry and fret and be concerned. But that's not trust. Trust is total confidence. You know anything that happened? Whatever happens to me, my heart stops beating. Oh, how terrible. No, it's not terrible. That's God's plan in my life. God has, he says, my days are determined by him. I have a Redeemer. I have a Savior. I have one called the captain of my salvation. I have a friend. I have an advocate. He pleads on behalf of the Father on my day. Yeah, and you know, he was my substitute. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. Oh, what a wonderful thought. I love that song. I sing it, Pastor, ever since. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He paid everything. He took care of everything. When Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. That's a Greek word, tetelestai, which means completely everything paid for. Though he paid for our sins, you have to confess him as Savior to be born into the family of God. And that's how you get in the family of God. You confess with your mouth to the Lord Jesus, my need is a Savior. And not only is Jesus... He's our guide. He says, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Jesus will walk with me down through the valley. Jesus will walk with me over life's plain. When it was sunshine or shadow, if he goes with me, I cannot complain. He said, well, he's going to go with me. Look, the Godhead, I'm out of time. The Godhead is the Father. The Godhead is the Son. I love our psalm book. Because the number one title, if you look alphabetically A through Z, is the letter J. And there's more songs that begin with Jesus than any other song. Jesus is all the world to me. Jesus never fails. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. I have a Godhead. I don't have to have a statue. I don't have to have something. When I was a boy, my mother, when my dad lost his business, had to go to work. She worked up here at the Sears in Hayward off of Winton Avenue. And she just was grieving because kids went to school. Well, I guess you'd call them nowadays latch lock kids, whatever. And my sisters would get the dinner going. We lived in a little two-bedroom apartment. My mother would weep that she's not home to get the meal going. But my mother would come home from work from Sears. And you know that she was so, she regretted so much she wasn't there. But we had to understand that mother was doing something to help dad. And you realize that today, that wherever you go in life, Jesus is always there. Yes. Amen. He's always with you. Amen. He'll never leave you. Amen. He's always with you. He'll take care of you. He'll protect you. He'll guide you. What a Godhead, the Father, the Son. And then there's one more, and I'll have to end. There's the Holy Spirit. If you could read John chapter 14 through 16, you'll see a lot of these, but here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Bible calls him, chapter 14, verse 26, the Comforter. He comforts us. You ever need comfort in life? The Word of God says the Holy Spirit, he comforts us. You see what happened when you got saved, when I got saved, 1956, I didn't know all that took place. I knew I got saved. I knew God wrote my name in the book of life. The Bible said that. I didn't know 1 Corinthians 12 that the Holy Spirit came and moved inside of my heart. I didn't know that. But I can remember when I began to read in college and study in theology class what the Holy Spirit does. One thing he does is comforts me. And there's so many times in a day's journey that God just brings comfort. You know what else I found out he does? Chapter 16, John, he convicts us. And so someone says, well, I didn't know I was doing wrong. Oh, yes, you do. The Holy Spirit says, I don't like that. You know where the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, wants to go on Sunday? He wants to go to church. You say, but I want to go to the beach. Well, he'll go with you. He'll never leave you. Jesus will never leave you. But the Holy Spirit, he convicts us. He comforts us. You know what the Holy Spirit does, John 16? He will guide you. Oh, how we need guidance this week. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And it's not like a genie. One, two, three. Now give me some direction. No, that God, the Holy Spirit, he may take his time with an answer to slow you down. He will convict us. He will guide us. The Bible says in John 16, he will teach us. I had a boy in a class in the college a couple weeks ago was praying before a quiz, and they said, now, Lord, help us with those things we've studied and bring them back to our mind. And could you help us a little bit with the things we haven't studied that maybe you, it doesn't work that way. But you know that the Holy Spirit, he will teach you. He will guide you. He will comfort you. He will convict you. The Holy Spirit, he will keep us. He secures us. The Bible said we're kept by the Holy Spirit of God. We're sealed. That's a great one. He dwells within us. Isn't it amazing what the Godhead does? You don't need these little gods. So my mother was working at Sears. And we moved then from Hayward on Santa Clara Street to Centerville in Fremont this way to get closer to our church. And she'd drive up there, but we had one car, so she would go with a lady who owned a farm right there. Her family did. In fact, we actually lived for a while on the street that was named after her family. And she would go to work with Barbara. Barbara would pick her up in her brand new 1962 Plymouth Fury. It was beautiful. Two-door. And they'd go to work. One day, she came home and dropped my mother off from work. I was there. I was playing baseball or something in the street. And I said, hi, Barbara. That's what she wanted to be called. And a lot of folks in the 50s and 60s used to have statues, Catholics, on their dashboard. You remember those days, perhaps. And I'll never forget it. I was young and I was dumb. And I said, "Hey, Barbara, is that your family?" Had a bunch of, and she looked at me, and my mother looked at me. I said, "Oh, boy." That wasn't the right thing to say. And though I don't believe in statues, and my mother did not, she does believe in respect. And my mother said, "Please forgive Jack, Barbara. I'll talk to him. He'll be talking to you." And I remember that night, my mother talked to me about that, and she said, "Now, son, we don't know. We don't believe in statues on dashboards anywhere. But you are being disrespectful. And I want you tomorrow to apologize to Barbara." I got it. Do you know, realize that today this church at Corinth, at Colossae, this church was mixing up gods and statues. And they began to work and then bring those gods into the church. And yet God's word here says, because the Godhead, we're complete. You know, if we're complete in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, wait a minute. You don't need a confessional booth. You don't need to confess to me. Why would you confess to me when I'm a sinner too? I've been saved, but I have no ability to wash away your sin or cleanse your sins. Why would you light candles or light incense or do good works and say, "Okay, if I do, my good outweighs my bad"? But that's not what the Word of God says, Titus 3:5. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's according to His mercy. He has saved us. It's not baptism. So again, I'm going to get baptized so I can wash away my sin. Peter says, baptism does not wash away the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward a holy God. So we baptize in both our properties. We have baptistries, and we'll baptize today. But we don't baptize to get someone saved. We baptize referring back to their salvation. Jesus identifies with us at salvation. We identify in the death, the burial, and the resurrection with baptism, showing the world, "I've been saved." And we don't, you don't, your God cannot, "Okay, I'm going to give money, and my money is going to get me to heaven." But that's a work of righteousness. I'll shut my Bible to give you hope. We're done. I've told you before, but it was June of 1976. And I'll never forget the other property. And I was in the building. I don't believe that afternoon my wife was there. She worked for us all those years as the secretary. And I was in, they just had an auditorium and a lobby and two little rooms upstairs down below where you could change for baptism. And I hijacked this one over here during the week. And when I study or so, I'd be in there. The door was always open. And somebody walked in that door, that church building over there. It's torn down now. And I heard some rummaging around. I came out, and I've told you this. There was a Lord's table right down here. And I saw this older gentleman. I found out he was in his 90s. And he was right next door at the rest home living. His name was Walter Hewlett. And on that day, all of a sudden, he kept talking about God and talking about heaven. His wife was a Christian, but she had died her whole life. He was a good man. Her entire life she spent trying to tell him he needs to be saved and ask Christ to be his Savior. But he never did, never hurt her, never kicked her, or hit her, or slapped her around, never an evil man, but he was not saved. And I figured out that he was looking to get to heaven. Well, all of a sudden he pulled out a wad, I mean a wad, of $100 bills. And he started putting those on the Lord's table. I don't know, but there was an enormous amount of money. And that's 1976. I said, "Walter, are you trying to get to heaven?" He said, "Well, yes. My wife went there. She kept telling about heaven. I want to go too. But I don't know how to get there. Would you please take this money?" I remember I said, "Would you please pile that up and put it back in your pocket?" Because remember in the book of Acts, you thought this gift could be bought with money? The Bible says. I said, Walter, you don't give money. What if poor people have no money to do then? I never thought of it that way. I said, let me, and we had metal folding chairs. I took them to the front one. And we sat there. I'll never forget him. Jim, he got so gloriously saved. He went back to that rest home and said, I need someone to take me shopping. Now, he looked great, but he bought sport coats. And he bought a hat, kind of a sport type hat, but really sharp looking, real expensive, and slacks and shirt and tie. And he came walking into church, and he just looked awesome. He's dignified, straight. He walked in. I baptized him on the bicentennial, July 4th. Probably, I said, I'm probably the youngest pastor baptizing the oldest man today. You know, after his baptism, I went next door and I'd go see him every week, once or twice a week, and we'd just talk. He came to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, loved it all, sat up club. He goes, I love all this. I love the hymns. I love the songs. I love the preaching. I see what my wife had. I wanted this. I got it. I walked in there. I want to say it was a Thursday afternoon. I might be mistaken. I walked in there on Thursday and turned the corner and went into his room. And I saw a sight 40 days later. Broke my heart. They had just taken the sheet and covered him up. He just passed away. I'll never forget that. God gave me an illustration. People are looking. I'll carry my God with me to get to heaven. I'll give money. I'll get baptized. I'll do anything. But here's what God said. It's a free gift. And if you're not saved, this is the morning. I'm not as clear as maybe some other preacher would be with salvation, but you're not going to hear it much clearer. You must be born again. That's the Bible. And you're either going to heaven or hell. And if you're going to heaven, you can point back to a date. Like I can point to a birthday, August 28th, 1994, I was born. Well, maybe 1994, but I won't tell you the year. But I was born. My birth certificate says it. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Deaconess Hospital. I have a birth date. But I was born again in 1956. Spiritually. Are you saved? And then Christian, if you're saved, we have the Father. He never leaves us. We have the Son who walks with us. We have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. You talk about a wonderful life.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.